Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
It's Wednesday, and on Wednesdays, we talk NASCAR with Rod Mullins here on the show. And we're getting down towards the end of the season. Another win for Kyle Larson. Gosh, we keep saying that, it seems like. He's on a streak now again. And Rod, a lot of chaos in Kansas with the playoff standings. Not with Kyle Larson at the top, but everywhere right below there, a lot of chaos.
Oh, yeah, a lot of chaos. And Chase Elliott was one of those. It's in the chaos right now. And then, you've got several other drivers, too. Denny Hamlin kind of holding his own in there. But, if the race were to have ended like it did on Sunday and then the playoffs for those four positions, Chase Elliott would have been on the outside looking in. He wouldn't have had a chance to make it in, even though he finished second in the race. That's how this point system affects you. If you get down early and you don't get a chance to lead, or something happens to you about midway through the race, it knocks you out of contention. It keeps you out of being in that upper echelon, so to speak, of the race, the points and so forth. And even though he had a great finish, he came in second, 1-2 for Hendrick Motorsports. It kind of puts the pressure on Elliott and some other drivers if they're going to make the cutoff this weekend by Martinsville.
Yeah, so Chase is on the good side of the chaos, right? There were some guys who were affected negatively. Ryan Blaney comes to mind first and foremost. He's only a point out right now. But, man, what a devastating day for him this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a devastating day for him, and a lot of the other cars out there. One of the things I think that affected a lot of the drivers, Ryan Blaney, also Chase Elliott, was – driving that high line. And once they were driving that high line, they were coming very, very close to the wall, the outside retaining wall. And they were doing that to be able to kind of sling their way around the track, use the real estate there on the bottom when they needed to. But then when they needed that extra little bit of push going into the corners, they would race up high and go to the high side. And once they did that, it's either your momentum or your speed, whatever's going to happen, it's going to put you in the wall. And that's what happened with Ryan Blaney. His car on the right side was tore all into pieces. And, that killed him on any chance of trying to at least stay in the race for that week. Martinsville is going to come down to a lot of kind of jockeying to find out what the position's going to be and where everybody's going to end up. We do know one thing, though. We know that Kyle Larson's locked in. So that's not going to change. That top spot there for Kyle Larson, he's safe, but the other three positions, it's going to be, oh my gosh, it's going to be hard to call who's going to be able to play in and get into that position and then go on to Phoenix from there.
Three straight wins for Larson in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That speaks a lot. And also, it means something for Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, every win means something for any team, but it was 17 years the day that of that plane crash near Martinsville. And that had to really have special meaning for the team.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely with that. That happened. I was living in Henry County in Martinsville there earlier before this happened. And, I always wondered at first, they always mentioned the airport and a lot of the racers would fly into the airport there at Martinsville. Well, it's on a mountain is what it's on. It's you get out of Patrick County and then you start getting into Henry County right there. And you start getting into a little bit more rolling land. And I found out that the airport, although they call it Martinsville, it's still up on top of a mountain. And so, 17 years ago when that happened, that little bit of a flame that was there burning for Ricky Hendrick, Rick Hendrick's son, he was supposed to be the one that was going to take over that number five ride. So ironically, all this stuff happens to the day that those 10 people got killed in that plane crash there coming in for the Martinsville race. And, it threw a real damper on that race for Hendrick Motorsports. And, a lot of people said they'd never recover out of it. And they did end up recovering. And I think they ended up recovering in a big way, especially this year with Kyle Larson signing up with them. Because, I think they've been in contention several years here in a row. But last year, Chase Elliott winning the championship. And then now it looks like Kyle Larson may be knocking on the door for a championship. That's just another plus for Hendrick Motorsports. They've had things that's really pushed them to this point, and that was one of those things that happened. When that incident happened and the crash, a lot of people thought Rick Hendrick was going to kind of call it quits or he would phase back on the program. But no, that just propelled him that much harder to do something, because it was sort of like the way that Joe Gibbs did concerning his son, JD, and the one that was with Denny Hamlin, and really gave Denny Hamlin that push when JD came down with that that illness or that disease that he had. I think it was a neural disease or something. It just prompted Denny Hamlin and the Gibbs Racing team to just kind of dig in a little bit more. And so there's so much irony in just with Joe Gibbs Racing, so much irony in there with Hendrick Motorsports, you know, and it even comes down to with Richard Childress Racing too, the number three, and, you know, how a lot of people just got so upset when Austin Dillon took over that ride, because that's not his number three. That was Dale Earnhardt's number three. But, you know, people get over it after time. And, you know, that's one thing that they have gotten over. But I don't think Rick Hendrick and them will ever get over the loss of those nine employees and, of course, his son there at Martinsville when that happened.
So Larson and Elliott, Hendrick, big day for them, emotional day for them. But you mentioned Larson is locked for the championship race. And Elliott's in second, Hamlin in third, Kyle Busch in fourth, Ryan Blaney fifth, Martin Truex Jr. sixth, Brad Keselowski seventh, Joey Logano eighth. From 2 to 8, we could say, there's potential for movement in Martinsville this weekend. Let's go ahead and skip ahead to Martinsville then. Okay. What can we look for this weekend? Who runs well there traditionally? And, you know, even Joey Logano, 26 points out of fourth place right now, he's not out of it. It's right. Anybody's race. It's anybody's chance to get in there. Who do you think might have the best chance of getting those last three spots?
Well, I'm kind of leaning right now toward Kyle Busch is one of those that's going to kind of get in a spot. I think he's kind of shown some integrity here in the last couple of weeks, what he's been able to do, and he's kind of keeping that team consistently close to the top, and they're within, you know, earshot range of getting in there. And I think Kyle Busch is probably one of those. I'm just going to go out on the limb here with this one. You know, I don't know if Chase Elliott's going to make it. I really don't, and the reason why I'm saying that is because there's been so much inconsistency here in the last 5 to 8 races, the way things have been going. Things will either be up for them or they'll be down for them. You know, I think that it's always been a good Hendrick track. Martinsville's always been good for Hendrick Motorsports because, you know, that's kind of a short track. It's one of those short track routes kind of tracks that they love. They love that kind of thing in particular. But, you know, I don't know if he's going to make it. I'm kind of leaning back in another way right now. Joey Logano could make it in. If Joey Logano, he loves the short track. He loves rubbing and racing, and especially there at Martinsville, that would be a big plus for him to pull off a win, because he's kind of been inconsistent here as of late too, not running as well, having some trouble. So it would be a good shot for him. I think your dark horse out of this whole thing, you still got a Martin Truex Jr. that's kind of in contention for this. You've got Ryan Blaney that's sitting outside this looking in. I really can't rule out Martin Truex making it in. I think it could really mess things up to have two of the Joe Gibbs cars there in the running, because that could really change the landscape going into Phoenix. And then you'd have a Hendrick car in there already with Kyle Larson, and then you'd have a Penske car. So you'd be represented all the way across with the makers, the automobile makers, the Toyota, Ford and Chevrolet. But, you know, I don't know. There's some things that still could happen. And, you know, we're getting down to Martinsville. Remember a couple of years ago, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, they had their issues right there as they went into that race. And, you know, Denny Hamlin bumped Chase Elliott. He took matters into his own hands a little bit later on. But, yeah, I don't know. It's been an inconsistent season. Things looked good for Elliott at the beginning of the season, and you thought, I think he's gonna make a run at it, but I'm kind of going out on a limb. Unless he gets some good luck that just suddenly materializes in Henry County on Sunday afternoon, Elliott's chances may be up in smoke.
Hey, let's talk about next gen testing at Bowman Gray Stadium with Tony Stewart, Dale Jr., Clint Bowyer, maybe some others. Mm-hmm. What's the news from that round of testing?
Well, they're kind of getting back to their roots with this one. You know, Bowman Gray is the only stadium, really, I guess, within close shot for some people that plays football on Friday nights, and then they have racing. So it's kind of like that old hometown sort of feel to it. I wish more racetracks and, you know, areas would do that sort of thing, of have a racetrack and then have a football game or have some kind of stadium in there. But it also kind of gives you a little bit of a, a little bit of a prediction, sort of the way I'm kind of leaning with this, as to how things are going to go when they get to the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And I think they're letting those three guys get their taste of it and get their feel, because, well, here they are. These guys, except for Tony Stewart, definitely Bowyer, definitely with Dale Jr., this is their chance to get behind the next generation car, see what it does and see what it can do. And they also get to test it out at Bowman Gray and kind of get a feel of how it's going to be for some of these other drivers when they hit the track, this temporary track they're going to make at the LA Coliseum. I know a lot of people are looking at this thing and saying it's more for show than it is anything else. We could be seeing a return, I think, in some ways of some of these smaller tracks. The big thing that everybody's talking about now is, will North Wilkesboro get a track back or get a race date back? And North Wilkesboro is not in great shape. There are people talking, what about Rockingham? Give Rockingham a chance. Rockingham is pretty good shape. They've taken good care of it while it's North Wilkesboro's kind of fallen on hard times. But they're still hoping some way, somehow, to get one of these smaller legendary tracks back on the circuit. And I think that's a great way to kind of think about it, to see what the car can do, see if it's got the potential of maybe going to a Bowman Gray Stadium, because Bowman Gray in its heyday was one of the driver's choices when it came to tracks. And I think we could maybe see something like that, not in 2022, but maybe in 2023. I think they're going to see how this LA Coliseum deal works out. And I think they may be going toward a little bit more of a shorter track sort of race program in some of these areas, because I think the short tracks need it right now. The fans are starting to give a little bit more, push back when they start saying, we've ran enough road courses this year. I don't like the road courses. I think they need to stick to the traditional ones, but I disagree with the Roval at Charlotte. I think it needs to still be on the circuit. Now, Brickyard's another story. I think Brickyard, you need to be racing an oval is what you need to be racing, or at least, you know, the traditional Brickyard surface and track. But some of these road courses, yeah, I think their time is due. I think it's time to move on to something else. And what better yet to put a race on but one of the legendary short tracks and open it up. It would be good for Raleigh. I think it would be good to bring the crowd in, but I'd say NASCAR is probably looking at one of the things that they're going to see what they're going to do in order for a race like that to actually work out. Here's a funny thing about it though, Chris, they're going to be testing pretty close to my neck of the woods down here in maybe about another week or two. They're going to Wythe Raceway in Wythe County near Wytheville, and they're going to be racing on the dirt track up there to kind of get a feel how this next generation car is going to handle on dirt when they get to Bristol.
We only got two races left this season. Is there any other silly season news? Any guys looking for rides? Any teams looking for drivers? I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, but I haven't really seen much in the last few days.
Been quiet. You know, I know that Matt DiBenedetto is still trying to race for his job and everything, race for him a job somewhere on the circuit. Haven't quite heard anything at this point. The only real thing that's coming up is there's been a lot of talk of people talking about the U.S. Grand Prix that took place at Circuit of the Americas this past weekend. NASCAR beat it out on ratings, but you couldn't prove that by the fans that were at Kansas when there weren't that many fans. And Texas was down there at Austin. I mean, the stands were full. It was jam-packed with people down there. That was one thing that people were talking about. What does NASCAR have to do to be able to attract the crowds that it used to, or the crowds that Formula One attracted to this race? The second thing is Kyle Busch. I saw this just this afternoon. Kyle Busch is going to be racing in some sort of Nitro Road Race Series or something coming up in Phoenix. And I think that's about the middle of the month of November. So that's a big start right there for him. And then the other big news happened a couple of weeks ago, Tony Stewart saying he's going into drag racing, and he's dragging along his fiance with him, Pruitt, and then also bringing along Matt Hagan from Christiansburg, Virginia. He's leaving her and him both Leah Pruitt and then also Matt Hagan, they're leaving Don Schumacher Racing to go with Tony Stewart. And that's a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought, if anything, Tony Stewart might get involved in it, but he's going to own a race team in NHRA and he's going to compete. And Schumacher is kind of reeling right now from it. That's about the only news that I've really heard, wondering if, you know, some of these other spots are going to be sealed up before the racing season's over with. I don't think so. I think with the way this is going to be so competitive going down to the wire, they're going to wait and see where some of these teams are, if some of these teams are even going to materialize for next year. Some of these teams may not be able to make it onto the circuit for next year. Dale Jr. has pretty much ruled out putting a cup team together for 2022. They're looking at maybe 2023 or 2024 as their time when they get in, because to him, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take some money to be able to switch some things over. And this next gen car is not going to be the same one, I believe, that's going to be on the it's going to be on the Xfinity series. They're eventually going to go to that, but this they're going to test this out and see how it goes.
I can't believe we've been talking about this NASCAR season since February with the Daytona 500 preview in the Daytona 500. We got two races to go. That's still a lot of fun coming up for us here. But man, oh man, this year has gone by fast.
Hey, I'm going to tell you one thing too. I'm looking forward to the podcast with you and Jerry and Scott and a chance to sit down and listen to Thomas Jones. I have not heard a lot from Thomas Jones except for following him on Facebook talking about his television show, but I want to hear what he has to say about football in Virginia, football coming up from the coal fields and playing for Powell Valley High School. I'd love to hear Jerry get into that a little bit more with him. And Jerry had told me one time before that he enjoyed talking to Thomas Jones a lot, because Thomas Jones, probably one of the best well-kept secrets that ever came out of Southwest Virginia as a football player at UVA.
Yeah, we talk with Jerry and I will talk with Thomas Jones tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, as we're recording this podcast. We'll have that podcast out around lunchtime tomorrow. Jerry and Scott and I got together today for a UVA BYU preview. We'll be talking UVA BYU with Thomas Jones as well. He had a big game out there and a win in Provo back in, I think, 99. He had 210 yards in that game. Also talked to Thomas about his acting career. Well, he still looks like he could play football. He still looks like the young 25-year-old Thomas Jones we all remember, who gained 11,000 yards in the NFL and did so good, had such a good career at UVA. He still looks like that guy, even though he's in his mid-40s now, and he doesn't want anybody to know that. But, I can't wait. We can't wait to talk with Thomas tomorrow.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, too, is Thomas – mentioned, or at least on the maybe on the ballot or something for the Hall of Fame now. I think that they mentioned something about him being on that. And it's a shame if he doesn't get in. I mean, he's one of these players that was just, he was quiet. He did all of his talking when he was out there on the field. And I know he bumped around from several different teams. He bumped around to the Bears, from the Cardinals to the Buccaneers, and I think the Jets even at one time. He played for the Jets. But, I mean, you know, he was one of those players. He let his action and his play do the talking for him out there. He wasn't one of these like a Richard Sherman, just get there and just shoot off at the mouth and just say what he wanted. He just went out there and played football, and that's what he grew up doing. I mean, that was in his family. That's the way it was. His uncle was a hotly recruited player out of Appalachia, and, you know, they got him and he went to Purdue, and if he could have been able to make it at Purdue, if he had not have saved those kids from drowning that time, Ed Clark, you know, it's a wonder what Ed Clark could have maybe done if in the NFL, if he'd been able to make it. But Thomas really stepped in, and I think he filled some big shoes there, and he really made a name for himself, you know, for the family altogether with that.
Yeah, the Thomas Jones, I was looking it up real quick. I know he was a 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee. It looks like he's a 2021 as well. It's hard to get in that Hall of Fame. I mean, I guess any Hall of Fame is hard to get into. But Rondé Barber, another UVA alum from down southwest, way down from Roanoke, him and his twin brother, Tiki. Rondé's been a finalist several times. And he is – I don't think it's even arguable that Rondé is the best safety of his generation. Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
He hasn't gotten in the Hall of Fame yet either. So, but Thomas Jones, 5 1,000-plus-yard seasons in the NFL, had a great career at UVA. And, we'll look forward to talking to him tomorrow. And, boy, big week in UVA sports with that BYU game coming up. Bronco Mendenhall heading his way out to his old stomping grounds in Provo. He coached at BYU for 11 years. So tough week for him and his group. And then, yeah, this has been a fun week for us podcast wise, though.
Yeah, it sounds that way. And when I saw that promo on there for JerryRackliff.com, I said, I'm going to have to listen to this. I want to hear Thomas and see what Thomas has to say about things and the state of affairs when it comes to college football, pro football, and then also acting. I've never had a chance to see him acting except for just seeing him on clips on Facebook or maybe seeing him on YouTube. But dang, he's a good actor too. I mean, natural. He's smooth. He is really smooth. Is. On there. So.
He's a natural. He looks like a guy that's been doing it his whole life. And of course, he played football for most of his life until getting into acting. So.
Maybe they'll take him into consideration as the new James Bond. You know, Idris Elba, they've mentioned him all this time. Maybe they ought to look at Thomas Jones because, I mean, he's as smooth as they can get when he's acting.
Smooth actor, and he certainly would fit the part in terms of the physical part of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you go do much better than him as far as the physical part of the thing. Rod, as always, thank you for your time and your insight into NASCAR and everything else. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.